Welcome back to the Darting Through the Faith podcast. For Julia Monin, I'm Father Sean Wilson, and we'll see you next week.
That's it?
I don't know. I think we had a good episode there. It might have been the best one we've ever recorded.
Well, I can't argue with that. But I think the good people want more. They missed it.
Well, I guess so. And they can always leave whenever they want.
Absolutely.
If they don't want more.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Just pause. Move on.
Yeah.
What they're doing right now at this exact moment.
Yeah.
I'm so confused what's happening.
I know. I know. That's probably what most people have in when they're listening.
Mm-hmm.
So
let's refocus. What is today?
We're recording this on the 22nd of August, right, which is the Feast of the Queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary, a full octave after the Assumption of Mary.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
nice.
Yeah, we're celebrating a Marian feast day.
That is awesome.
Again. I know.
In August.
Our August Queen.
Mm-hmm. It's good. That's good stuff. I said that like a question, like, what day is it? Like, really, what day is it?
Oh,
like,
you just kind of bit a little laugh.
Well, earlier, before we started record, I asked you if this Springfield, Illinois was in the Diocese of St. Louis,
right?
Which you said, that's
we had
a different
to talk
state.
About like state lines.
Yeah,
and all
right.
Of this. Yeah.
So anyway, I'm a little confused today. But hey. Queenship of Mary, great feast.
Mm-hmm.
Two great Marian feast days in August.
Mm-hmm.
My little guy had his first day of kindergarten today. He's there right now as we speak. So
lucky him. Lucky is he excited?
Him. Super excited.
Okay.
Like pumped up, excited. Had an open house there last night. Didn't want to leave. Like,
really?
Can I just stay a little bit longer? Well, you're going to be here all day tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we can't stay any longer tonight. We have to go.
He's in kindergarten. Wasn't there like a cot he could have just stayed on for the night? They do that? Do they do naps in kindergarten these days?
No.
Hmm.
Maybe some, but not.
Not him.
Not him.
Dang.
No.
That's rough.
Yeah, he outgrew naps last year. It is a sad thing when that goes. It's like, shoot, where'd those go?
Yeah.
Not that I ever napped with him. I hate naps. Do you like naps?
Sometimes I like the idea of a nap.
Yeah, sure.
But I rarely can nap if I want to. Even yesterday, for example, I had like 20 minutes. I was like, oh, I'll just go hide away, take a quick snooze, recharge the batteries. And I was just like sitting there twiddling my thumbs for 12 minutes. And I was like, well, that's dumb.
Yeah.
Yep. Back to it. Every now and then, though, I can. But my body will wake me up after about 10.
Really?
Yeah.
See?
If I fall asleep.
That's the problem with naps for me is I'm not a short napper. Like, my nap, it's like, might as well get back in your pajamas because I'm not getting up for 2 or 3 hours. And then I feel worse than when I...
It's hard to wake up from a 3-hour nap.
So I just don't do it. Just don't stop the train once it goes.
Woot, woot.
Don't stop it. That's right. Right. That's good. Okay, good. You got anything going on here in the old parishes this week? I'm sure lots of things.
There's two weddings happening this weekend. Mm-hmm. So one at St. Joseph, one at St. Lawrence.
Nice.
I believe it's the second wedding since St. Lawrence has been repainted at St. Lawrence. Yeah. So it's pretty exciting.
Gorgeous place to get married.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. I had a wedding shower out there for my niece this weekend at the hall. And of course, I was like filtering everyone into the church afterwards. You got to go see the church.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Let me go show you the church.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gorgeous. Cool.
If you ever need a church repainted, call Michael and Ann Blanc of Blanc Studios.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Great work.
They do a bomb diggity job.
They really do.
Yep. They are not paying for this ad space either, just so everybody can be assured.
Right.
We could pause for a commercial if you want.
Who would be the type of people that would want advertising space on this podcast?
I'd like to think Catholic good stores. You know, maybe that's who our listeners would frequent.
Catholic good stores.
You know, like, you know, like, Believe.
Oh, okay.
What's the one in New Bremen?
Cornerstone,
yeah.
Silver Cross,
Fort Laramie. Yeah, I would think that. But we've got some Cincinnati listeners, so.
Sure.
I'm trying to think of what's in Cincinnati. There's one in Madeira that I can't think of the name right now. Anyways.
Okay.
We're not selling ad space.
No, we're not.
Even if you want us to mention your business, we probably won't do that. If you want to mention your person, we can do that.
Yeah,
but,
right. I just was curious who would be drawn to such a show. Anyway, who would be drawn to such a nonsensicalness?
All right. Question.
Uh-huh.
Put you on the spot.
Uh-oh.
If you could have one, if we had to have a sponsor, you know, a commercial, what one business would you want there to be a advertisement for during our podcast?
Yeah.
And you can't say your husband's chiropractor business.
Can I say my Catholic nonprofit apostolate?
Sure. Okay. But that seems like cheating, but all right. And not nearly as much fun as wanting like Oscar Mayer hot dogs to sponsor our podcast.
Okay, you were going
podcast.
For something like that. Okay.
I mean.
So if I couldn't pick Journeys Revealed Ministries.
Or your husband's right. upper cervical.
Okay.
Then, which is a great place. I highly recommend it, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I don't know. Oscar Mayer Wiener seems like a good one. some coffee.
Coffee?
Yeah. Mm. It seems fitting.
Did I tell you about the coffee Bobby, our parish secretary, got for me?
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
Like llama
bean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because Father McCullough tried to get me in a ruse to convince a child that they're called llama beans, not lima beans.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if the child was convinced, but I was for a hot second. Way too long. Way too long. Wait a second. Why am I believing that?
Yeah. Why are you?
Father McCullough, in all seriousness, he doesn't listen to this, does he?
I don't think so.
I don't think he does either. We talk about him a lot.
I talk about him all the time. It's embarrassing.
Makes me laugh. Oh, okay. Well, besides all that goodness, we have actual things to talk about. Sure.
But
okay.
First, we must pray.
Let's do it.
In the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we ask that you may pour forth your Spirit upon us to always give us an appreciation for all of your blessings, and that we may return all that you give us in praise and thanksgiving for the salvation that you continue to work out in our lives. We entrust this podcast, all of our listeners, all of our time today into your hands. We ask that you may always keep us united in your sacred heart through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
So here we are in part two of the catechism, kind of at so part two is the sacraments section, and we're kind of in an introductory section, the sacramental economy. So this is, there's a little bit before this in the sacraments section, but not much, just a smidge, which I think we've already done. So we're talking about the liturgy as the work of the whole Trinity, and we're just going to talk about the liturgy as the work of the Father and the Son.
Right. We touched on the Holy Spirit's work in the liturgy. I feel like it wasn't even that long ago, but either way, we're talking about
sometime in the last couple of years.
That's true, for sure. That's true. But we're doing the Father and the Son, paragraphs 1076 to 1090. 1076 to 1090. So yeah, as you mentioned, 1076 is like an intro to all of this.
Right.
The sacramental economy. The church was made manifest to the world on the day of Pentecost. Thank you. I didn't know that one, but it wanted to come out
wrong.
All right. By the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Spirit ushers in a new era in the dispensation of the mystery, the age of the church, during which Christ manifests, makes present, and communicates his work of salvation through the liturgy of his church until he comes. In this age of the church, Christ now lives and acts in and with his church in a new way appropriate to this new age. He acts through the sacraments in what the common tradition of the East and West calls the sacramental economy. This is the communication or dispensation of the fruits of Christ's paschal mystery in the celebration of the church's sacramental liturgy.
Right on.
Right? Mm-hmm. So in this time after Christ, Christ is communicating himself to us until he comes again through the church, through the sacramental life of the church.
Right. And so it gets this, the word dispensation's used a lot there. Mm-hmm. So how is the fruits of Christ's work dispensed to us, right? Mm-hmm. How is it given to us? Mm-hmm. So it's almost like, how do we plug in to the fruits of Christ's victory over sin and death? Mm-hmm. The sacraments.
Right.
And of course, there's other ways, the Holy Spirit alive in our prayer life and in the moral life. But one of the primary ways of how the grace flows to us is through the sacraments.
Right. Right. Then we go into this actual section here on the Father in the liturgy and then the Son in the liturgy. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's begin with the Father. That's 1077 through 1083.
So just a reminder, the liturgy are like the sacred liturgy is the rites of the church, right? Mm-hmm. That get celebrated. And ultimately the goal of the liturgy, the word liturgy is literally translated like the work of the people or the work done on behalf of the people. Mm. So Christ is the chief liturgist, right? He's the one offering himself, but we enter in. So this is how we enter into the work of salvation through the liturgy, the work our work, but also the work done on behalf of us by Christ, by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
And the priest in the head, in the person of Christ.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the liturgy as the work of the people, the work on behalf of the people,
mm-hmm.
that the Father participates in, the Son, and of course the Spirit, but we're not going to touch on that today. Yeah, we already did.
We did that earlier. Okay, let me just jump to one paragraph in brief section that's going to summarize this God the Father section. In the liturgy of the church, God the Father is blessed and adored as the source of all the blessings of creation and salvation with which He has blessed us in His Son in order to give us the spirit of filial adoption. So talking about the blessings, the creation, all of that going in here. Mm-hmm.
So the word bless mm-hmm. shows up a lot there, and mm-hmm. it shows up in this section on the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And were you here for the Eucharistic? What was that? The week we had in January. You remember that?
I was like caught the very end.
Yeah. So Sister Ignatia, mm-hmm. who is a sister of the Saint Francis of Perpetual Adoration, had a talk, mm-hmm. and she talked about being blessed mm-hmm. and what does that actually mean? And she kind of joked about how you find stuff on mugs that say like hashtag blessed.
Mm-hmm.
But then she made a joke, you know, the very next thing Jesus does with the bread after blessing it is he breaks mm-hmm. it. So you don't see anything ever that says hashtag broken.
Mm-hmm.
Which was
that sounds like so, a great talk.
It was really good, but yeah. all that is like just rolling around in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Sister Ignatia listens to this, but if you're interested in a vocation to the Sisters of Saint Francis of Perpetual Adoration, she is the vocation directress.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Was that recorded or anything, that talk, Grace? No. Okay.
No.
That's okay.
You had to be there.
That's
you
right.
had
I,
to be
that's
there.
Good. I get it. Yeah,
yeah.
That's all good.
So it talks about blessing in like so this twofold sense of mm-hmm. one. What God does for us. So God's gifts that he gives us is the way the Lord blesses us. And we talk about that, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about God blessing us. I feel blessed by the Lord. Like he takes care of me. He shows me his grace. He provides for me. All of those different things. God blesses his people mm-hmm. with his presence too, right? He accompanies them. Blessed are you among women, right? So God's favor is with the Blessed Virgin Mary because she's blessed.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's also our work. And you know, this is all throughout here mm-hmm. and we could probably touch on it. But our work is to bless God. And our end is like we don't do the same. What we our blessing that we do and God's blessing that he does for us are very different, right? Because we don't actually give God what he needs, right? Mm-hmm. When he blesses us, he accompanies us, he gives us himself. God doesn't need us to like bless him with courage or anything mm-hmm. like that. Not that we could. So our blessing towards the Lord is praise, thanksgiving, gratitude, all of those sorts of things that we return in response to the blessings God has first given us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little confusing with having like two words meaning different things depending on who's doing it,
mm-hmm.
right? But even, you know, a blessing, you can like bless your children, right? Make mm-hmm. the sign of the cross on their head mm-hmm. before night. It's a very, very good thing for parents to do to their children. And that's an imitation of the way that God blesses mm-hmm. us, or it's asking God to bless
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even priest blesses, right? May Almighty mm-hmm. God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, tangent on blessings.
No, that's not a tangent. That's all in here and is talking about this. When we're talking about the Father in the liturgy, the source and the goal of the mm-hmm. liturgy. So that's how this subheading is titled here. The Father, the source and the goal of the liturgy, mm-hmm. where it's coming from, where we're heading.
Right.
Uh-huh. 1080, I thought, did a really good job of kind of tying all this together. From the very beginning, God blessed all living beings, especially man and woman. The covenant with Noah and with all living things renewed this blessing of fruitfulness, despite man's sin, which had brought a curse on the ground. But with Abraham, the divine blessing entered into human history, which was moving toward death, to redirect it toward life, toward its source. By the faith of the Father of all believers who embraced the blessing, the history of salvation is inaugurated. So anyway, this is just talking about, you know, throughout all covenant history, all salvation mm-hmm. history, how this blessing has
right.
happened.
Right, God has continually blessed his people,
mm-hmm.
shown his favor, his grace, accompanied mm-hmm. them, helped them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Renewed the blessing in Noah when after the fall, redirected mm-hmm. it in the person of Abraham.
And then 1081 takes it throughout history, continues mm-hmm. it in history, right? The saving events of the birth of Isaac, the escape from Egypt, the promised land, the election of David, the presence of God in the temple, the exile, and the return of the remnant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. And then they always respond, right? The chosen people at the very end of 1081 recall these divine blessings and at the same time respond to them with blessings of praise and thanksgiving. So we receive the blessing, mm-hmm. right? The gifts of God, which is ultimately fulfilled. The next paragraph will say in the work of Christ, mm-hmm. right? Ultimately, Christ is the one who blesses us, or his work is the greatest blessing the Father offers us. Mm-hmm. And then our response is one of praise and thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Continuing in 1082, in the church's liturgy, the divine blessing is fully revealed and communicated, as you just said. The Father is acknowledged and adored as the source and the end of all the blessings of creation and salvation. In his Word, who became incarnate, died, and rose for us, he fills us with his blessings. Through his Word, he pours into our hearts the gift that contains all gifts, the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So we see this blessing, the people responding to this blessing all throughout salvation history. And as you said, it's perfectly fulfilled in Christ.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the goal is always to be back in right relationship mm-hmm. with Christ, with the Father.
Right.
And so that's you know, it talks about the Father, the source, and the goal. Mm-hmm. So the goal of the liturgy being the Father is everything is directed back towards him. Mm-hmm. And you see this at the end of a lot of the sacraments. So at the end of a baptism of a child, the child is then presented to God. You're supposed to take the child up to the altar and to present the child as a gift to God, to thank God for the gift of this child, but also to say, okay, God, this child is yours. Mm-hmm. Even as you get towards the end of the Eucharistic prayer, right? The end with through him, with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. So that's, mm-hmm. he's the goal that we're going towards. And then right after that, we say the Our Father. Mm-hmm. So that's the sign, the kind of living out that this is where everything's directed back into a right relationship with our Father in mm-hmm. heaven. So mm-hmm. that's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Keep trekking on our way there, huh?
Absolutely, in Christ, through the Holy Spirit. That's right. Okay, so then this last paragraph in this Father section is talking about the dual dimension of the Christian liturgy. As a response of faith and love to the spiritual blessings the Father bestows on us is evident. On the one hand, the Church, united with her Lord and in the Holy Spirit, blesses the Father for his inexpressible gift in her adoration, praise, and thanksgiving. On the other hand, until the consummation of God's plan, the Church never ceases to present to the Father the offering of his own gifts and to beg him to send the Holy Spirit upon that offering, upon herself, upon the faithful, and upon the whole world, so that through communion in the death and resurrection of Christ, the priest, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, these divine blessings will bring forth the fruits of life to the praise of his glorious grace. So that dual dimension, mm-hmm. what we're talking about, yeah. blessings given, blessings received, given back in praise and adoration.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's like what the Mass is all about. And mm-hmm. if you listen attentively, you can hear that in the Eucharistic prayer, right? The Lord blesses us, mm-hmm. we receive it, and then we offer back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And the greatest thing we have is to offer Christ, and we offer Christ back. We enter into the Christ's offering of himself mm-hmm. to the Father through the unbloody sacrifice of the bread and wine.
Mm.
So we've received so much from him. And even like the fact that we've received Christ, we've also received the goods of wheat and grapes mm-hmm. that make this sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And so then we offer that. We enter into Christ's offering of himself to the Father, mm-hmm. which is a lead-in mm-hmm. to the section on Christ's work in the liturgy.
That's right.
So that's the one who is offered.
The last few paragraphs in this section, 1084 to 1090. And did you notice like the subheadings in each of this? Like it's giving us a full sentence in each of these mm-hmm. little subheadings. So Christ glorified.
Section one.
From the time of the Church of the Apostles.
Section two.
Is present in the earthly liturgy.
Section three.
Which participates in the liturgy of heaven.
Section four.
So that's where we're going with this, with Christ. You want me to give you the in brief paragraph on this too?
Yes, please.
Let me do that. That's 1111. It reads, Christ's work in the liturgy is sacramental because his mystery of salvation is made present there by the power of his Holy Spirit. Because his body, which is the church, is like a sacrament, sign and instrument, in which the Holy Spirit dispenses the mystery of salvation. And because through her liturgical actions, the pilgrim church already participates, as by a foretaste, in the heavenly liturgy. Okay. So the first few paragraphs, Christ's work in the liturgy, Christ glorified, is what we're talking about in mm-hmm. 1084 and 1085.
So Christ ascended into heaven. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the end of his work of salvation on earth, is his ascension into heaven. But he doesn't go there so that he can be distant from all of us. But he goes there in glory, and from his throne there in glory, he can act anywhere in the world, right? Not just wherever Jesus Christ is ministering in the Galilee or in Jerusalem, but now he's there so that he can minister throughout the whole world. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit makes that possible. So they make presently, efficaciously, the grace they signify. So these sacraments, so he's now present in a sacramental way throughout his entire church. Mm-hmm. Wherever the liturgy is offered, wherever the Blessed Sacrament dwells, there's Christ's presence mm-hmm. through the power of the Holy Spirit in the sacraments. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So his presence is sacramental.
In the liturgy of the church, it is principally his own paschal mystery that Christ signifies and makes present. His Paschal Mystery is a real event that occurred in our history, but it's unique. All other historical events happen once, and then they pass away, swallowed up in the past. The Paschal Mystery of Christ, by contrast, cannot remain only in the past, because by his death, he destroyed death, and all that Christ is, all that he did and suffered for all men, participates in the divine eternity, and so transcends all times, while being made present in them all. The event of the cross and resurrection abides and draws everything toward life. It is alive and present and also drawing us at the same time.
Right. Mm-hmm. So because Christ has destroyed death, this historical fact of his death and resurrection is not limited to just when it happened so many years ago. And that's primarily the way Christ is present during the liturgy, is in his offering of his life to the Father. Mm-hmm. So he's not primarily present in the liturgy in the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, or you know, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Although we hear those things, we recall those things, it's not sacramentally made present to us. But what is made present is this liturgical action he makes of offering himself to the Father under the signs of bread and wine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's so beautifully depicted in at St. Joseph Church. There's a mural above the high altar of the Father accepting the sacrifice. So Christ is on the cross and the Father is there receiving mm-hmm. his sacrifice. And that's basically what we believe happens every time Mass is celebrated. We enter into this eternal sacrifice of Christ offering himself to the Father. And so that's why that's a fitting image to have in a church. It's not just because, oh, that's nice, I like it. But it actually reveals what's always happening every time Mass is celebrated, mm-hmm. is that we're entering into the eternal, the continual offering of Christ to the Father. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what we participate. And he draws us towards this and draws us into that sacrifice too, so mm-hmm. that we can be like Christ offering our life to the Father. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So again, that's the Christ glorified part one on this. And then we go into from the time of the Church of the Apostles, beginning in 1086. Accordingly, just as Christ was sent by the Father, so also he sent the apostles, filled with the Holy Spirit. This he did so that they might preach the gospel to every creature and proclaim that the Son of God, by his death and resurrection, had freed us from the power of Satan and from death and brought us into the kingdom of his Father. But he also willed that the work of salvation which they preached should be set in train through the sacrifice and sacraments around which the entire liturgical life revolves. And then we get into a paragraph in 1087 talking about apostolic succession and how mm-hmm. that structures the whole liturgical life of the church, right? Handed on by the sacrament of holy orders.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you could see this happening early on in the church. They're mm-hmm. passing down this ability, not just to lead, not just to teach, but also to sanctify the church. And so that's part of the roles of the successors of the apostles, the mm-hmm. bishops, is to guard and celebrate the sacraments, mm-hmm. the liturgical rites of the mm-hmm. church. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So Christ is glorified from the time of the Church of the Apostles, and then is present in the earthly liturgy. This mm-hmm. is 1088 and 1099.
And it's a large quote from one of the Second Vatican Council, the Second Vatican Council document on the sacred liturgy. Mm. So basically, it describes that Christ is always present in his church, especially in her liturgical celebrations. So sometimes people say, well, isn't Christ present everywhere? Well, yes, mm-hmm. but he's particularly present in these ways. In the liturgical celebrations, he's present in the sacrifice of the Mass. So he's present as one being offered or entering into that offering. not only in the person of the minister, but he is present in the person of the minister. It's why the minister, the priest is in, or the bishop is incense during Mass. Mm-hmm. But the same now offering through the ministry of priests who form us, but especially in the Eucharistic species. So he's present in the bread and wine that becomes the body and blood. By his power, he's present in all the sacraments so that when anybody baptizes, it's really Christ himself who baptizes. He's present in his word. That's why we incense the book of the Gospels, since it's he himself who speaks through the Holy Scriptures. Lastly, he's present in the church as it prays and sings, for he has promised where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So that's why the assembly or the congregation is the people are incensed at Mass also, because Christ dwells in them as two or three are gathered in his name. So he's present in all of these ways, in the rites of the church, in the Eucharistic species, the sacrifice of the Mass, the person of the priest slash bishop, and the people, and the word. So those are places where Christ is particularly present.
That's right. Okay. This 1089 says, Christ indeed always associates the church with himself in his great work in which God is perfectly glorified and men are sanctified. The church is his beloved bride who calls to her Lord and through him offers worship to the eternal Father. That's beautiful.
It is. This nuptial meaning of the liturgy, which, I'd have to draw it or describe it in some sort of detail, and it just...
I'm going to get you a whiteboard to put
It would be cool. Or I could put on a PowerPoint.
PowerPoint.
Yeah.
What do you want to draw for us? Try your best.
Well, so over St. Peter's tomb, right, there is the altar, right, where only the Pope can celebrate Mass.
Okay.
And over said altar is this thing called a baldacchino, right? It's like a big old canopy. And it's supposed to look like the canopy of a bed. So that in the imagery is where... under the canopy of a bed is where a bride and a bridegroom give her give themselves to each other in marriage, just as on the altar is where Christ, the groom, gives himself to the bride, the church. So this whole like kind of marriage imagery of Christ in the church, his bride, well, that's where it happens on the altar, is where he gives himself to us and we receive him, just as under the canopy of a bed, a husband and wife do similarly.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Yeah, we probably have.
I don't know what you were going to draw there for us, but you did
the baldacchino. You know, I couldn't draw it very well, so I'm glad we don't have it.
Yeah, I'm terrible at drawing.
Yeah,
just fun fact. I don't know.
Yeah,
but anyway,
thanks for that. Okay. If I ever have a Julia Monin quiz, true or false, Julia is a good artist, I'll say
false.
False.
She's terrible. Although I did win an art contest this summer. Very few people participated, but I did win.
Nice. So, congratulations. Did you beat your husband then?
I sure did.
Wow.
This was a bookmark drawing contest at the old local library, and I came out victorious.
Were you the only two adults that...
There was one other adult that participated.
Is of any relation to
you? I don't know who the other adult was that participated, but
It wasn't me.
No.
It wasn't me.
I just wanted bragging rights in the house, and I got them. So
nailed it.
Award-winning artist. Boom.
Yeah.
I'm high five. I want a high five. I really want a high five for that. Thank you.
Yeah. Good job.
Okay.
All right. So which participates, so this earthly liturgy participates in the liturgy in heaven. So in this liturgy, we share a foretaste of that heavenly liturgy, which is celebrated in the holy city of Jerusalem, toward which we journey as pilgrims, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So just... maybe this just needs to be said. If you don't like coming to Mass, you better learn to like it, because that's what we've been doing for all eternity, right? Like if you think Mass is boring, you're going to get real bored with heaven. So because that's what we do all in heaven. And that's, you see that in the book of Revelation, right? In the book of Revelation, he has this vision of heaven. There's incense, there's singing, there's offerings. The Lamb is there, you know, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Happy are those called to the supper, right? Like, so what this is telling us is, what we do in the sacred liturgy prepares us for heaven and gives us a little glimpse as to what heaven's going to be like, but it's veiled, right? And in heaven, we rip open the veil. We don't. He does. So.
Yeah, that can seem, it can seem like harsh when you think of it that way, because we've all had moments where we've struggled, you know, like, struggled, you know, going to Mass or participating or what is actually going on. And there's a part of it that is a mystery. And, you know, you're not supposed to be able to grasp everything.
And you got to use your human effort to kind of enter in.
But it's why it's so dangerous for us as a church to try to conform the Mass or the liturgy to our own, like, inclinations or preferences. You know what I'm saying? Like, the liturgy is like we're participating in this heavenly liturgy. And so we need to conform ourselves to that reality, right. Like not create God in our image, but allow
him to change us. So mm-hmm. it's like why a priest doesn't come out with a chasuble that is Cincinnati Bengals color. Mm-hmm. You know, you got like the Bengal stripes. Mm-hmm. Well, because that's let's make God's work in mm-hmm. our image and likeness and what we want him to be mm-hmm. to make him more relevant. And ultimately mm-hmm. all we do is, and there's so many other examples you could do, but it's kind of a fun one as we approach football season.
That is fun's one way.
Fun imagination, you know.
Made my insides throw up a little bit.
But yeah, yeah, you'll but have anyway, that.
Don't do that.
I don't have the skill or the time uh-huh. or the desire.
Great, good. But let me read these final sentences of this, like to think about this, the participating in the liturgy of heaven, what we're doing here when we mm-hmm. participate in the earthly liturgy. With all the warriors of the heavenly army, we sing a hymn of glory to the Lord, venerating the memory of the saints. We hope for some part and fellowship with them. We eagerly await the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, until he, our life, shall appear, and we too will appear with him in glory.
Can't wait.
I can't either. You know what I was thinking today as I was taking my little guy to school? You know how naturally as kids, we look forward to summer vacation every year, mm-hmm. right? You go to school and you like count down.
Yeah.
Summer is such a blessed time mm-hmm. and, you know, all of those things. In a real way, you know, like we can look towards eternal life with God. It would be way better than summer vacation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we can look at it with that same sort of like mentality, I guess. And that's very simplistic. But we should look forward to that. Like this time of oneness with that veil is removed and seeing him in all his glory, worshiping him, giving him the glory that is due. Yeah.
Yeah. This last paragraph made me think of a conversation I had over the summer with a priest who's in his 80s mm-hmm. and he was telling me just how he's a bit of a curmudgeon, which is kind of the delight. And he's
such a sweet word.
It is, but he's just a great man. And he was telling me how he's getting a little frustrated with churches. What do you mean? He goes, the more beautiful the church, the more frustrated I get, because all I ever want to do is to die mm-hmm. and to see the real thing. And it seems like the more beautiful the church is, the more of a tease it is, that mm-hmm. it's not Christ in and of himself in the heavenly Jerusalem. I just want to see it so bad and I want to be there that I can't take going into these beautiful churches, and it's just, you know, a veil.
Yeah.
The more beautiful the church, the harder it is. And this man's ready to die.
As soon as you started saying that, I thought, oh no, that's where that's going. Like that longing is like he's salivating.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Oh, he is good.
So
praise God for him.
Yeah.
Oh, and that longing is good for us mm-hmm. and suffering. He's for the good of all of us who are still here. Okay. Good. Anything else with that? The liturgy, the Father and the Son in the liturgy.
I don't think so.
Sacramental economy. None?
I don't think so. I think that pretty much sums it up.
Okay. And, you know, tell the good people. We are recording two podcasts today. We decided that after we got off the air last time. So we already threw the dart. Where are we going next week?
Next week, 2803 to 2827. We've got quite a gamut to run. That's the first three petitions of the Our Father. So 2803 to 2827. We'll see you there. But first,
let's end with Ephesians 1:3-14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. As he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him, in love he destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ in accord with the favor of his will, for the praise of the glory of his grace that he granted us in the beloved. In him we have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of transgressions in accord with the riches of his grace that he lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will in accord with his favor that he set forth in him as a plan for the fullness of times, to sum up all things in Christ, in heaven and on earth. In him we were also chosen, destined in accord with the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to the intention of his will, so that we might exist for the praise of his glory, we who first hoped in Christ. In him you also, who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the first installment of our inheritance toward redemption as God's possession, to the praise of his glory.